I'm very excited to welcome missionary couple who are here from Germany. Please welcome Nigel and Karen Rivers. It's great to have you guys here. Now, we had a chat the other day on Skype, had a little catch-up, which was great. Now, I've known Nigel and Karen since they joined River Church. Well, since we joined River Church. Guys, we were away a long time ahead of us. So, probably back in those days, I would not have put you down as real obvious out-to-the-mission-field missionary candidates, if I'm perfectly honest.
Don't know why.
I'm getting there. Let me get there.
Dave, I just want to ask you one question. Why?
Oh, that's good.
No, that's a serious question.
I don't know. I'll have to mull that over and get back to you. I'm going to dig myself out of this, I promise, somehow. Okay.
We're a minute in and Karen's off the script.
What? The reason I asked that question... stay with me, folks. The reason I asked that question is I'm interested to know what the catalyst was for you guys. For some people, from the day you meet them, day one, you're like, well, they're going to be heading off to X place sooner or later.
Absolutely.
What was it for you guys that catapulted you out to Berlin in Germany?
I don't think there is such thing, really, as a catalyst to be... not coming against you, but... If we have a heart that is passionate for God, and if we have a heart that says, not my will, but your will, anything can happen. And I think as Christians, you know, our responsibility is to constantly be looking at our hearts and saying, God, is my heart clean? And is my heart saying, your will be done, Lord, not mine? And that is a challenge in everyday life. From the very beginning, when I was 5 years old, I used to read my Bible. And for a couple of years, I can honestly say I didn't get past Genesis. Because all I used to read was, in the beginning was God. And I think something got in my heart. In the beginning, it's about God. And... I don't think you can get away from that. I think it's a passion that says, I know this is going to hurt. I know there's going to be a price to be paid, because there is. But I trust you, God. And that's my catalyst. That's the thing that pushes you forward. In amongst that, there were things. Before I got married, at the time of prayer, and God said to me, you can marry that man, but you will end up in Germany one day. And are you prepared to do that? If anybody knows me, I am not a language lady. I do like my comforts. And, you know, it was a big thing for me when I was 19, 20 years old, thinking, will I go to Germany for the sake of what you want, God? But I made a promise. And I said, yes, I will do that. And then how many years later? 20 years later? Suddenly there's the reality. Well, I made a promise to God. And my heart was saying, your will be done, not mine. So there are little signposts like that that were along the way. Little things like I followed a car from Maidenhead to Slough. And every turning I took was a different turning. And this car stayed in front of me like glue. And the back of it said, Berlin, go. And I got very, very excited. And I said to Nigel, I came and I said, Nigel, you know, we really ought to go, because God was saying, Berlingo. It was a Berlingo. It was a Citroen Berlingo, yeah? But I could only read Berlin, go, you know, because sometimes the Holy Spirit inhabits things, doesn't he? And he takes us where we are, and that's where I was. So there isn't a real catalyst that said, go to Berlin. We'd always had the world on our heart. We've always had mission on our heart. I think everybody here has mission on your heart. If you've got God in your heart, you've got mission in your heart, because your mission is to show the love of Jesus now. Right now, where you are now. That's all that's important, right now. Whether you're in Maidenhead, whether you're in Cookham, whether you're in Berlin, whether you're in Mozambique, wherever it is, that's our calling. So Dave's quite right. We're no different. The only difference is that God changed us geographically.
So initially, you went out to set up Gnadin House, a multicultural house for missionaries and mission teams. In recent years, your vision and what you're doing has evolved a bit. Tell us a little bit about that evolution, particularly, because I was excited, and I sensed the excitement in your voice when you talked to me about it, this pursuit of genuinely multicultural expressions of church.
Yeah, our original vision was that we would be part of a reconciliation between the three missionary sending nations, England, Britain, Germany and America. And that's how we started, with those families in the house. How that's developed, though, has become quite interesting in terms of the church that we're part of. That, you know, the Tina, it's the church pastored by her dad, is becoming increasingly multicultural. We've got a number of South Americans in the church. We've got a little Polish contingent in the church. And my heart, my vision is that we can really access those people, provide a genuine experience of God for them within what is primarily a German church. I was mentioning to Dave also that very recently we've been involved in doing some teaching in a Vietnamese church, and that is completely monocultural. They are a group of Vietnamese people. They run their meeting in Vietnamese. If I go and preach there, that talk is then translated into Vietnamese. And to me, that is missing something. I mean, I guess we are being multicultural in that you've got a British guy speaking German in a Vietnamese church, which is at least a start. But what I really want is for our church to be able to access these other groups and to build something of the kingdom of God. Very crucially, our Chancellor, Angela Merkel, said a year or two ago, multiculti has not worked. And that was quite a shock, because there's been this pretense that Berlin's a great multicultural city. What she said, actually, no, it hasn't. What we are is a whole series of ghettos where each group lives in their own place. And the church is the only way that we can get beyond that. So what we want to see... Oh, she's right, it hasn't worked. But the church is the only place it can work. And every tribe, every tongue, every nation worshipping God together. That's our heart, that's our vision. And we long to see that happening.
Yeah, it's great, it's exciting. And I know that Berlin's a particularly exciting place to be with all of those nationalities. Quite a melting pot. Now, amongst that, just skipping ahead a bit here, Nigel, so Nigel on the other on Skype the other night told me that he'd been hanging out with illegal asylum seekers.
It's true.
Gasp. Not too many gasps. People know you, obviously. Talk to us a bit about that. Why have you been hanging out with asylum seekers? What's behind that? And particularly, I was really struck by a young Kurdish lad, whose story you told me, which I thought would be great to hear.
I think some of you know my heart for the Kurds. Those of you who follow our newsletter will have seen some references to that over the last couple of years. And the moment you start moving outside the mainstream ethnic groups, you will find some asylum seekers there. This guy, his name is Awad. I was interested to see on the chart that Andrew's been involved in Iranian refugees through Turkey, because Awad, who's a Kurdish Iranian, originally a Persian, actually got saved in Istanbul. You remember Istanbul, that heart of Christian faith in the middle of Turkey. So he got saved in Istanbul and then came illegally to Germany. And his heart is to see his fellow Iranians saved and delivered and set free. And he's a man on his own. His families, some of them are in Iran. He has some other asylum-seeking families elsewhere in Germany. So he's a lonely man, and he's looking for fellowship. He's looking for support. But most of all, he's looking for people who will befriend him and encourage him and stand with him. As an asylum seeker, he's very limited in what he can do, where he can work, and this stuff. He's actually got involved with some friends of ours in a church in Spandau, so that's a really good development for him. But he's a young lad, just like the rest of us, except that he wasn't able to stay where he lived. He couldn't. If you imagine not being able to stay in Maidenhead, because of persecution, having to travel across the world to the Far East. And that's the nature of what he's facing and what he's looking for.
It's good. Yeah, it's good. Let's keep him in our prayers. I'd like for us to pray for you in a moment, and this question could be a lead-in to that. So you guys have been out in Germany for 9 years now, which is remarkable. Now, obviously, I know a little bit about this in terms of being away for a few years, and I'm sure that being in Germany over years probably just naturally takes its toll in terms of how connected you can feel into River Church. So I guess the question that I have is, what can we do to help that connection? And is there anything that you want to do moving forward as well?
Yeah, I mean, we learned a few things while we've been out there, I hope, but we have. There are some timescales which are actually quite important for missionaries. I don't think it matters where you go. There's the 2-year slot where you can go somewhere for 2 years, and you can go into a different culture. You can work within that culture. You can achieve huge amounts in helping people, etc. But you aren't truly assimilated into that culture in 2 years. And actually, that we found, I think, much more in the European countries, not so much in the third world countries, but in the European, you aren't trusted in 2 years. So then there's the 5 years. There's a 5-year time span. And after, at the end of the 5 years, they're beginning to think, oh, these guys might be serious. And there's a reason for this. It's because so many missionaries go out into some of these big city, European cities, and they really, very few of them go past 2 years, and hardly any go past five. So there is a little light switch that goes on in your locality when you've been there more than 5 years, because they begin to think, whoa, okay. And you actually get the questions, so you are going to stay. And that makes a big difference to what you can achieve and how you can achieve things. You're working, you're constantly pushing against things, you're trying to develop people's trust, which is not a personal thing, it's a cultural thing. It's something where for so many years they've had missionaries go and they've been so hurt and disappointed because they've left. And they've invested time, they've invested friendship, but they haven't stayed that bit longer. And then there's the 7 years. And at 7 years, spiritually, something happens. Something changes. And I can't explain why, but at 7 years, suddenly doors are opened. And both emotionally in people's lives, and that you know, you become more family to them than you did before. And so that is a challenge when you're going out, when you say, you know, you've been there for this many years, etc. And in the meantime, you're pushing and pushing and pushing in whichever country you happen for us in Germany, pushing and pushing and pushing, and then you're putting so much energy into trying to be accepted and assimilated into a German church that it's really difficult when you come back, because I just want to explain a little bit of how it works for missionaries, because emotionally, you come back home, and this is home for us. It still is home for us, and it always will be home for us. Because I can't, unless you've been there, you can't explain it. This is home. And when you come back home, everything is here that you want. Yeah, emotionally, physically, practically, everything that I would in a worldly sense want. It is here, and I can touch it, and I can feel it, and I can experience it, and then I have to let it go and go back into something where that is not the reality. And that is a challenge. It's an emotional challenge, and it's a spiritual challenge, because you go from being in a place where you are really standing fighting spiritually quite a lot of the time, and you come back here and you relax and you just fill up and you think, yes, yeah. But then you realise, actually, no, I've got to go back again, and you have to go again, and you have to go again, and you have to go again, and so that for all missionaries from River, that is an issue. And I think having an understanding from the people back here about what they're going through and how they are experiencing that is really, really important. I mean, we are in an incredibly strong position compared to so many of our friends who are missionaries in Berlin. We have support. We have people who come out and see us. We have a I have got, you know, half a dozen people here that I know I could pick up the phone, and if I was in real trouble, they would fly out. And there are lots of missionaries out there who don't have that. So, you know, we're very blessed. So we go between the two, but it's a fine balance that you walk. It doesn't exactly answer your question, but I think it's important that people understand that that is the reality. And sometimes when you come back and you see all these people and you think, all I really want, if you're honest, all I really want to do is to say, yeah, I'm coming back. And I think there's very few people who would say, if they say to you, no, I never want to come back, I'm not sure that's true. Because if your home is here, but you're choosing to go somewhere else, it's a choice, and I think it's a daily choice. If you want to keep your relationship with God alive, it's a daily choice. And that, you know, if you were praying for the minister, for any of the missionaries abroad, you know, pray for their daily choices, because it affects so much. Of how they can function, how can they can minister, how their their marriages or their relationships or their families, whatever situation they're in, it affects all of that, the daily choice. So that didn't really answer your question, did it?
No, but that's helpful. That's helpful to understand.
It's important to know, I think.
Yeah.
You know.
And I think picking up from that, while we've been on a journey, River Church has been on a journey as well. And part of our challenge always in terms of connectivity has been, okay, we're going to be in Maidenhead or Marlow, the area. On a Sunday morning, where should we go? There's always a choice of three or possibly four. And that makes this connectivity quite difficult. So in talking with Ian and with Dave and with others, just pursuing the whole change in River from one church to many churches, the challenge then was, okay, is there a specific group here, a specific church that we want to see stronger links with? And I think so. We're also on a journey in that we're looking probably to Maidenhead to be our key link, because that is where most of our relationships are. But we're aware in that we have some good, strong friendships with others, particularly in the Marlow congregation. So quite how we're going to balance that, I'm not entirely sure. But we're wanting to meet with Kerry and the rest of the Maidenhead team and really see how we can build a stronger connection. As Karen's mentioned, we're always open for people to come and visit us. We've looked, this is no exaggeration, we've looked at least 8 or 9 times at teams from River coming out to the Carnarvon House. And most of those times it simply hasn't worked for a number of logistical reasons, or just because what we're doing doesn't really fit a lot of the mission models that we're used to working with. So we probably want to try a bit harder at that. Because I think whatever you do, whenever you step outside your country, you get on a plane, you are changed. You find your reliance on God comes more. And the reality is, often the visiting teams, they benefit far more than the place you're visiting.
And we're trying not to tell them that, Nigel.
No, but it is true. And we're happy with that, because our heart and desire as part of River is to see the whole church develop, the whole church being challenged and being pushed. So we're looking for greater connectivity in both those areas.
Good stuff. Could you guys stand? And actually it'd be great if all of us could stand, and let's just let's pray for... hold your applause. Let's pray for these guys. I think these guys have been really raw with us this morning. They've actually been quite exposed in terms of what's on their heart and their tensions that they face and life. So, yeah, let's just hold them up in prayer. Holy Spirit, would you be their comforter, their energizer? Lord, would you be the one who helps them bridge that tension between the two worlds that they sometimes live in, Lord? And Holy Spirit, would you be their door opener? And their exploder into these exciting new arenas that they're working in, Lord Jesus. Just be with them. Guide their every step. Give them wisdom. Give them energy. And also guard their hearts, Lord Jesus. Guard their hearts. And Lord, let them know that you are massively, massively loving them and massive fans of what they're doing and who they are. Yeah. We ask this in your name, Lord. Amen. Let's show our big love and appreciation for these guys. Yeah, do go and see them if you want to know more about what they're doing or trips, and they've also got some of their newsletters as well to pick up. Okay, so do we have a Skype? Oh, it's Dave and Charlotte Pinion. Give them a warm welcome.
Hello.
Now, so we can see Dave and Charlotte, but they can't see us. All right. Guys, can you hear us?
We can hear you, yeah.
All right, and can you see me at least? Now, Tim, are we able to twizzle the thingy round so they can see more, or is it going to break everything? Too many cables. Sorry, guys. Wow. And also, I've left my questions at the front. Could someone really kind of run, grab them, and bring them over to me?
We can tell you what the word is.
Yeah, but that... Yes, that would slightly defeat the... Yeah, that's good. Yes, tell me what I should be asking you, Dave. Thanks. Loving the attire. Could we see Elsa?
She's sleeping.
Oh, there she is.
She's here.
Yay! Right, so guys, we are calling
you. The question's so hard, we were doing some research.
Oh, good effort. Okay, so hey, guys, thinking about yourselves, you're out there in Addis Ababa in Ethiopia now. Most people who have got married, just had their first baby, probably aren't thinking about moving out to Ethiopia. What possessed you guys to do such a thing?
The Lord did. The Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit did, I think. Yeah.
we really just felt God ask us to go. And it's not just something we just thought of randomly. We have both been quite open for years, just having our hearts open to see what God say. And we just really felt Him come here, to say to come here. And it was... It wasn't an accident having Elsa. It was part of, we feel God called us to have her just as much as, to come. The whole baby thing, we just feel like, it's a real blessing to have her out here. And actually, it's not such a big deal that everyone really thinks it is. We're having fun with her and we just feel we're where God wants us right now. So it's great.
Awesome. Very exciting. Now, thinking about your life in Addis over the last 4 months, share with us maybe something that's been particularly challenging, and if there's something that's been surprisingly not challenging, give us a little glimpse into the last 4 months.
I think probably the biggest challenge for us is language learning. That's a really difficult one. We're learning Somali, and living in Addis Ababa means most people here don't speak Somali. So that means you're kind of learning language in a bit of a like a bathtub. It's like learning to swim in a bathtub is what I mean. But someone gave us a word just after we arrived here that we would find as we walk out that we will discover He's prepared the way for us already. And this has really just completely been the case as we stepped out. There's been so many things, finding accommodation, finding a language helper, slipping into work and other relationships here. Mm-hmm. But it just seems like God has just prepared the path already for us. The challenges have not been that bad. We haven't had water for a long, long time, but that got fixed, so that was good. But generally it's just been really a very positive first few months here. I think the thing that's been surprisingly easy probably is the pace of life here is so much slower than the UK. You have a lot more time to be able to spend together as a family, but also with God, and just be able to praying into things, spending time with people, which is why we're here, because we want to spend time with people and love people and build relationships with people. So that's been a real blessing, and in some ways it's been really surprisingly the bit that surprised us actually is just how much we've been able to do that already, which is great.
Awesome. Really good. Really good to hear. Now, guys, I received an email from you the other week entitled "Dave is Going East." And I'm assuming this isn't about Dave nipping off to Thailand to have a bit of R&R and leave the ladies behind. Tell us what's happening eastwards.
Yeah, so no, it's not Thailand. This is still in Ethiopia. But I've been visiting the Somali region of Ethiopia, which is right out on the eastern borders of the country. So the organisation that we've been that we're working with here have just got a huge amount of favour and goodwill amongst the regional government there, which is just fantastic. And it's amazing because they've even given us an office in one of their buildings, which is completely unheard of for a Western business to be able to have that in that place. And they've asked us to provide training for leadership training for all of the government ministers in the region, which is just amazing. Wow. And it allows us to come in with our values and principles and things and just make a real difference to the leadership culture there, which is just so exciting. And we're really over the moon about it. And so I was going with a couple of others to launch that office and build relationships with the leaders there earlier this week, which was just really exciting to do. It was a great trip, very, very exciting. Was safe and got home safely, so that's good. But we're also scoping out the possibility of moving there as a family with a couple of others on our team out here, which would be amazing and exciting. So we're planning to go again in a couple of months' time. And yeah, it's exciting because actually we would be the only Western workers in that region doing what we're here to do.
Wow, that really is amazing. And guys, you know, for us here at River, let's hear that from them. These are our guys, and they could well be out there the only missionaries, Western missionaries in that part of the country. And yeah, they really need our prayers. That's awesome. So on the subject of prayers, you do have our full attention, right, church? They have our full attention? Yes, good, good. They say yes. I don't know if you can hear that. Tell us, what are one or two things that we can pray for or even respond in need, you know, a need that you have that you want to let us know about?
Cool. I think wisdom, definitely, just about this decision to go, because it is quite a big deal. The particular area we're looking at is a kind of Foreign Office no-no kind of area, so to actually say as a family to go there and be living there, we really want to know that it's safe and that we're really hearing from him, and that we build good team and that we go with good people. So yeah, we really want to hear from him, and we, yeah, so wisdom and just more of him. I think I'm spending some great times kind of while Dave's at the office praying around the city, praying, sort of prayer walking and be pushed into things. So, you know, that's me doing it and that's our team. But if you guys, you know, if you feel God stir you to just spend some time preparing the ground, preparing some hearts, then that would be great. So we really need you guys and we really need your prayer. So yeah, wisdom and prayer for hearts.
That's great. That need for prayer is really coming out strong. Church, what I'd like us to do now, I don't know how much you can hear, but I really like us to all stand up and pray out loud for these guys, and it'd be awesome. Let's raise the roof. Let's raise the roof so they can hear us. That'd be really, really good. Come on. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Guys, give these a really, really loud, warm. Yeah! We love you guys. We love you loads. You're awesome. Wow. Wow, that is so cool. They're obviously really touched. Bless them. Big time. Right.